You're listening to a podcast of Vancouver Canucks hockey on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Getting you set for all the action. This is the Land Rover pregame show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to the Land Rover pregame show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Contact your local Land Rover authorized retailer for offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda getting you ready for the Canucks and Oilers from Rogers Arena. Puck drop in about an hour's time. The Canucks trying to play spoiler as the Oilers can punch their ticket to the postseason with, I believe, one more point on the season. So the Canucks looking to play spoiler right now and potentially get themselves out of the basement in the North Division. It's Braden Holtby in goal for the Canucks tonight. And really, the story continues to lie on Connor McDavid, really from a league standpoint, because he is the most unstoppable force. And now the Canucks get four straight against the unstoppable force that is Connor McDavid.
Yeah, and, you know, they don't have Elias Pettersson in the lineup. And I know people will scoff at the notion of Brandon Sutter not playing, but that means a guy like Tyler Greovac has to play tonight. And I have a lot of time for Tyler Greovac. I really do. Great guy, great journey. He works hard, has decent skill, just does not move very well. So in terms of trying to keep up with Connor McDavid, you have to keep that line completely away from him as much as you can. And then that means Travis Boyd, if he's on the ice as a third line center, well, that's not going to be an easy situation facing Connor McDavid. So essentially what the Canucks have to do or could be trying to do tonight is hard matching the Horvat and the Miller line separately against Connor McDavid. So not only are you limiting your offense by maybe putting your best players up against Connor McDavid, well, you're also hoping that you can be good enough defensively. It just makes it a big, big challenge for this Canucks team tonight.
A huge challenge, and I think if you look at, you know, the situation that you have with McDavid and Draisaitl playing a lot of those, you know, minutes together on that top line, you know, can you win that battle against that second line of Nugent Hopkins, Yamamoto, and Dominic Cahoon? Really? You know, if that's what they stick with, if that's what, you know, Tippett goes with, can you win that battle? Because you're right. Whoever's playing Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, good luck. It's going to be a heavy defensive matchup. And from what we saw of what they did to Calgary, you know, goals are not easy to come by, especially when they're on the ice. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Now, the other question is, from a power play perspective, can the Canucks wake up? They're going to need good goaltending. You're going to have to win some of those top six matchups. On top of that, guys, one power play goal in the last four games, it's not going to get it done. This is a Edmonton team. 5-on-5, they can beat you. Definitely in the power play. They got the second best power play in the league. And against Vancouver, they function at over 28%, which is better than their league average there against the rest of the league. So, guys, can you score in the power play is going to be another issue here. The Canucks haven't been good at that. They're going to have to change that if they want to have a fight, you know, put up a fight in this game.
It's, you know, I know this is right now, this is big picture kind of a conversation. It's been a long conversation around how this management group has gone about building this team. But, you know, at times watching things right now, and it's continues to be that way, but you look at the discrepancy between the top six and the bottom six and how little the Canucks get from their depth scoring. Are they asking too much of their top guys right now?
Maybe to some degree, but, you know, these guys, this is the way the team is built, right? It's built that the top six has to produce. And if they're not producing, well, there isn't a lot of secondary help, especially now with no Elias Pettersson in. And it just underscores the need for this team to have more secondary scoring, too, throughout the lineup. And it's not like this entire team is a complete, the roster itself is a complete fire that you're going to take years to put out and find new players to replace. It's essentially a few key players. You have one play-driving player on your third line, a third-line center potentially, or another player that can really drive play offensively in your middle six, and then having another defenseman that can help you push the pace a little bit. And all of a sudden, that closes the gap quite a bit in terms of being a team that can actually contend for a playoff spot and perhaps do something once you get there. Those are the things this team still needs, because once you have a big injury, it's pretty apparent how much the rest of the roster is lacking.
It is the Land Rover pregame show. Let's welcome in our broadcast team for tonight's game and every game here on Sportsnet 650. It's Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch. Thanks as always, fellas. The key, stopping Connor McDavid. Anybody got any ideas?
Bo Horvat.
Okay.
He's been pretty successful in the past if he's when he gets that challenge. So you have to really match up Bo against Connor McDavid. That's the Canucks' best chance of stopping Connor McDavid. He's got that Draisaitl guy with him too, but he's pretty good. He's not bad himself.
Well, yeah, and I think you can't really stop Connor McDavid. You can only hope to contain him. You know, that at times the Canucks have done a good job of limiting McDavid, and yet here we sit, and he's got 8 points in five games in the season series and five goals.
That's what we say about Sat, though, too, is you can't stop Sat. You can only hope to contain him on air, because that's what he's like.
The hair, is that's the only thing.
And when you get on TV, it's like, it's just, yeah, swooning girls everywhere. Oh, sad.
I think it might be somewhat overstated. I think you're overhyped. I think I'm being more hyped than Nikita Triamkin right now.
Is that possible?
Does everybody
Nikita Triamkin's the next Bobby Orr and Zdeno Chara blended together, isn't he, guys?
Did you know
does
he's 6'7"?
Does remember how heavy he was? Like, how out of shape he was? Does everybody forget that? Like,
I think people forget a lot of things about Nikita Triamkin.
I'm trying to forget them.
I remember his first shift. Remember his first shift where
yes.
Doug Lidster literally put him on for 8 seconds and said, get off immediately.
Yeah, I was at the game that night sitting in the stands, actually, because it was before we did the games here on Sportsnet 650, and there was like a round of applause when he went off the ice. Like, the fans got up and cheered his 8 second shift. I'll always remember that. I had a good chuckle about that at the time. But
he did crush somebody, though, I remember. Who was that? Didn't he get suspended or something? I can't remember. I mean, I think we were playing against, I was with St. Louis, so.
Brad Richardson,
mind.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe that was
I think we're just doing an audio version of a video tribute right now for Nikita Triamkin and the Canucks jersey, guys.
It's only like 3 seconds long.
Like a shift.
It's like a shift. Oh, that's mean. He's not even here to defend himself. Go ahead.
It's the Land Rover pregame show. I think we've talked enough about Nikita Triamkin. But
didn't Elton John make a song about him? Nikita Telly. Oh. Was that ABBA?
May have been ABBA. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Braden Holtby getting in goal tonight. Do you think this is kind of what we're looking at here, guys? A split between the two goalies moving forward?
I'm not sure. I think he's just going to kind of, if a guy plays really well, I'll give him another game. But other than that, it does look like a split, doesn't it, right now? I don't understand it. I'd be playing Demko every game until he drops. This guy, you just gave him a big contract. He needs minutes. Unless he's got some nagging injuries that we don't know about. But I would keep playing Demko because he needs the work. He needs the game time. So I'm not sure about these decisions unless Demko's got something going on. So that's the only way I see it, Ben.
Yeah, they're going to lean slightly towards Demko, I would think. But with the way the schedule works and how thick and fast the games come, you know, there's a back-to-back this week, there's a back-to-back next week. So Brayden Holtby's still going to get his fair share of starts. And that's what I look at for this one tonight is Holtby will go in. Demko for sure will play tomorrow. And then, you know, Thursday and Saturday, you've got the possibility of going to either guy. But you know, Demko is their guy. He's going to be their guy long term. And so, assuming, as Hirschy said, that he isn't working through anything, I would expect that he'll play more games, but it might only be one or two more just because of, you know, the way the schedule is, how compressed the games are for them over the next 2.5 weeks.
Grant Fuhr played like 78 games 1 year, and everybody's so worried about back to backs. Like, goalies can play back to back, they're not fragile. These guys are in a lot better shape than I was, and I played back-to-back, and so did Kirk. And So I don't understand the whole back-to-back thing. Just give the guy the games. That's how he's going to get better. Even if it's 3 and 4 nights, unless he's nagging or something hurts, play the crap out of him. Just keep playing him. That's my opinion.
Well, Hershey, take us behind the scenes there, because you've been the goalie and the goalie coach. What is that conversation like between the goalie and the coach? And is that an ongoing conversation where the goalie says, hey, man, I need a rest? Or, like, what's behind the scenes? What's going on?
Yeah, it's different for every team and every coach. Some coaches like to get input from their goalie coach on who to start. Some don't. Some just going to start a guy, and that's the way it is. They're not listening to anybody. So, you know, Ian Clark has a very specific plan, I think. So, and he's done pretty well with the goalie, so we have to trust what he does. But as far as the goalie, if a goalie ever tells you he doesn't want to play, you should trade him immediately. And I've had a goalie that did that, and he got traded 2 weeks later. I won't say who he is, but you can all guess. And
I won't guess because I know.
Yeah, because you know. But a player that tells you that he doesn't want to play, okay, well, guess what? We'll find you somewhere. We're paying you a lot of money. We'll find you somewhere else to play, and it'll be in the minors or some other team. I think it's ridiculous. Unless they're hurt, of course, then they can't play. But that's a whole different story.
On the positive side of things, a young player who showed well through a couple of games was Cole Lind. And not a world beater so far, right? He didn't light the world on fire. But for a guy who came into a roster that's going through a lot of stuff right now, a difficult situation as well, he's acquitted himself really good so far. And I like what he's brought, playing in the top six, just to be a player that doesn't make a ton of mistakes out there right now. How promising has Cole Lind's play been, and what do you guys want to see here for the final 11 games from Cole Lind in order to shape an opinion around him for next season?
Yeah, well, I like the fact that he's come in and he's fit in and looked at home, and that the coaching staff agrees, because Travis Green has had him in the top six. We expect he's going to be there again tonight. And part of that is due to the injuries they have, and you know, guys are coming off COVID, and someone with fresh legs like Cole Lind is going to have more energy. But you know, you'd like to see some offense set, to be perfectly honest, because this is a team that needs it. Mm-hmm. If he wants to be a guy that can be a solution likely in the bottom six going forward, then they're going to need some offense out of him. So, you know, you're not going to heap too much pressure on a young kid who's playing his, third career game here tonight. But in an ideal world, if we're looking back on Cole Lind getting a dozen games or so at the end of the season, I want to see at least a few goals in there, Hershey.
Yeah, he's got to score. That's what he's here for. Got 2 shots in the first game, none in the next. So I guess, you know, time will tell. He reminds me of Adam Cracknell, just the way he skates and how much he can shoot. So I do think there is NHL ability in him somewhere. But he's got to show it. He's got to prove it. And when he gets a chance, he's got to bury it.
Hershey, when you look at this team, you know, it's definitely been tough. And the games aren't getting any easier. They're coming fast and furious right now.
I haven't noticed, Reach.
How much would a win just, like, help kind of cool the waters just in general? And I know they're not going to get many for the rest of the season, but it just feels like everything's so heavy right now with this team.
Yeah, boy, it'd be nice to get a win, but a win is like, against Edmonton here in the next 4 games, unless, you know, Edmonton seems disinterested. You know, the Canucks, they'll work hard and they'll play hard. No Sutter up the middle, that's going to be tough on the penalty kill. So no Mott, no Sutter on the PK, that's going to hurt. A win would be incredible, and I've said this before. I mean, I've coached and played for teams where you look at the schedule and you're like, well, are we ever going to win a game again? And then all of a sudden you rattle 3 in a row off. So it is possible. I just don't see it right now with the way things are going. And I think the way the Canucks should probably look at this is, yeah, play Lind, play Highmore, play guys that you want to see and get an idea of what they look like.
And they've done that already. We know they've recalled Jonah Gadjevich. It would be nice to see Jack Rathbone get into a game here at some point. And Travis Green didn't even shy away from that when he was asked about it earlier today, saying, yeah, we'll probably get him into a game, but I'm not going to tell you when or where it's going to be. But clearly the focus is starting to shift within the organization too, realizing that the losses have piled up. But you know what? You can win any game in the NHL. You could have a goaltender get hot. Holtby could steal you this one tonight. Demko could steal you the game tomorrow. If your power play gets going, it's been a little bit quiet of late. Canucks 1-for-6 on the man advantage during their current four-game slide. So you get a couple of power play goals. That puts you in a game that you might not have otherwise been in, and at least gives you a chance to win it. So we'll see if they have something like that in store for us tonight. They're back on home ice. They control the matchups. I know it's McDavid and Dreisaitl, and things don't look good for them, but you never know what can happen in the NHL.
They really don't. I think Batch is right. I think a goalie needs to steal them a game, and then all of a sudden your confidence goes in a different direction.
Yeah, in order to get that win tonight, you got to have great goaltending. You got to score on the power play and just have a solid effort across the board. Batch, today, Travis Green was asked about missing Elias Pettersson and what it's meant to the team. In that Toronto game, you kind of saw the difference with one team that has a couple of game breakers, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner doing their thing. And the Canucks were missing Elias Pettersson and what he can do a lot, especially in that game where they played pretty decently for most of it.
Yeah, and that's why this league, you know, it's not like the NBA in terms of how big of an impact the stars can have on, the way a team trends. And, you know, we've seen with LeBron James how he joins an organization and it immediately makes them a contender. It's not like that in the NHL. But that said, you have guys that can win you games on an individual night. Elias Pettersson is one of those guys. So certainly they've missed him, especially of late when, you know, a player like that can do something special and, you know, create momentum for your team and create energy for your team where it might not have been there otherwise. All of that said, though, they do still have guys who can break open games in their lineup, and it's not fair because of the injuries that they have, Hershey, but those guys need to be game breakers. JT Miller's got to score more. He's got 1 point in his last four games. Brock Besser, no points in his last four. These are guys that still have that ability to shift momentum and help your team get results, and they just haven't been producing lately. Well, maybe, and again, it's so much pressure to keep on them where Pettersson's not in the lineup. The bottom six is, you know, stuck together with duct tape. And to say to those guys, look, you've got to go and score all of our goals, but that's the scenario they're in, and those are the guys they've got to count on right now.
They're also playing against top lines and top defense pairs all night long. You don't really get too many matchups. JT Miller tried to take advantage of Mete and the other defensemen in Ottawa. But other than that, I haven't seen them. You know, they're getting top matchups, so it's difficult. So that's where the Canucks have to get on the power play. That's where they're going to win games, is if they can score on the power play and they can get at least two and then chip in one for another and kind of ride that out. So we'll see if that happens tonight.
And a big key there, Hershey, is to draw penalties, you got to have the puck.
Yep.
And you're not going to go to the power play if you don't have the puck and force other team to take penalties. So you got to move your feet. You got to win some of those 50-50 battles that they've been losing with too much regularity lately. And again, we know they're coming off COVID and the schedule is what it is. And that may be playing a factor, but that's what's going to make the difference in an individual game going forward, is that extra step you're able to get on another player, or that battle that you win where the other guy's forced to haul you down and you send your team to the power play.
Well, we didn't see enough of that, right? Last game, the Canucks haven't been able to draw penalties. Now, also, in a lot of these games, outside of the one against Ottawa where there were six power plays, not a lot of penalties are being called. But one little wrinkle we saw, and maybe we see more of that tonight if they call penalties, Nils Höglander found himself on the first unit power play against the Leafs in that one power play they had. And it was actually interesting. He was a bit more unpredictable off the half wall. They moved JT Miller off that spot. And having a guy that's a bit bold, not afraid of making moves, who forces movement and makes quick decisions, I thought that was interesting, guys. Like, I'm looking forward, if we get a power play tonight or the team gets a power play tonight, that we see Nils Höglander perhaps conjure up some magic on the man advantage.
No, very possibly. I know they like Tanner Pearson in front of the net. Höglander was good in one game and not so good in another game in Toronto. But for the most part, he's been one of the Canucks' bright spots, I think, for this year. I think he's played pretty well, Brandon.
Yeah, and he's a guy that can bring energy to that power play, too, that at times looks a little bit stagnant. He's been one of their better play drivers this year. He leads the team in Corsi. He has throughout the entire season, really. And he's a guy that isn't afraid offensively. We know that from, you know, the lacrosse goal that he scored in the SHL and in the World Juniors, and just the creativity he has in his game. So I've got no issue at all with him being on the top power play unit. I think it's a place that he could potentially stick. And, you know, if we're looking at things to pay close attention to over these last 11 games here, the rest of the way in the season, obviously we've talked about Cole Lind coming in, Jonah Gadjevich potentially, Jack Rathbone, but there are opportunities within the lineup, and this is one for Hoglander, Hershey, where he's getting a chance here late in the year. Pettersson's injury could be his gain, where he might be able to produce on the top power play unit and have the coaching staff think, huh, maybe he needs to be there more permanently, assuming, of course, that the same coaching staff is back next year.
He is getting more ice time, and tonight the Canucks got to be pumped up because there is double the cardboard cutouts of fans here. So I think it's almost double, isn't it, Brendan?
I saw Kesson Juicer there.
Did you? How do I get one? I want one.
I don't know, Hershey. You should have one. You're alumni.
Right, a jersey should be, and I should, which jersey? Like, they should have Steamer in there with the V-neck. They should have all those guys. Your cardboard cutouts.
I'm here for it.
Cool. More fans.
Have a great call tonight, fellas.
Yep, thank you.
All right, gentlemen.
There is Brendan Batchelor, Corey Hirsch. They'll have the call of the Canucks and Oilers coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here on Sportsnet 650. It is the Land Rover pregame show here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. When the Canucks play, you score at McDonald's. Every Canucks game day, you can get a $2 Big Mac exclusively in restaurants through the McDonald's app. Plus, every time the Canucks score on the power play, you can win a $50 gift card. Conditions apply. Visit sportsnet.ca/650. to sign up. Are the Canucks more likely to score on the power play with Nils Höglander on that top unit set?
I like the unpredictability when Nils Höglander is there all of a sudden. One thing that's happened with that top unit, especially without Elias Pettersson, and throughout this year, that top unit just was not clicking the way they're supposed to. There was lots of indecisiveness, right? Not a lot of movement, waiting too long to make a pass, a lot of stagnation on that power play. Nils Höglander can't stay still, and that's a good thing sometimes on the power play. You're forcing movement. You're moving into other people's space, and you get the penalty killers to move a little bit. They just haven't created enough movement for the PKers or themselves on the man advantage. And the more you get the defenders on the PK to move you, the more you get the goalie to go post to post, well, the more likely you are to get that shot through and go into the net when you do get it towards the net. So, yeah, I like Nils Höglander on that man advantage, and I hope he stays on it if they do get a power play tonight, because I do think right now he does give a little unpredictability and a little bit of power to a power play that's been lacking.
Well, one of the benefits of having a Tanner Pearson on the power play in the first unit is maybe he can give you a bit of a screen. Maybe he can use that big body and give you an opportunity to create some traffic in front of the net. But what we saw on Saturday night, guys, you know, maybe a little bit of traffic on the one goal they scored for sure. But beyond that, there's not much going on there. There's not much, movement going on to even get that puck possession in a good spot. So traffic is important, but to the opinion that we heard earlier from Brendan Batchelor as well, is that you need puck possession, and the Canucks haven't had much of it. Even on the power play, it's been a struggle, so get that movement going. Give Edmonton a look that they haven't seen from the Canucks, and also from a Nils Höglander perspective, we know he's going to be fighting for that territory in front of the net. That's how he's wired. It doesn't matter how, you know, small he is, he's going to bring that energy regardless, so maybe if you can add that mobility to your power play a little bit, you don't lose anything in effort and you don't lose anything in traffic. Maybe there's something that Höglander provides there that I personally think at this point, with the way that the power play has been playing the last four games, you got nothing to lose here. Give it a try. See if maybe there's a fit here.
Well, like, there's not too many forwards that keep pucks alive the same way that Höglander does, the way he wins puck battles, gets to loose pucks, wins those 50-50s, all those different types of things that he does, keeps offensive zone time. You know, the Canucks have a problem getting their zone entries right on the power play. That's another thing. But yeah, that part of Höglander's game is what I do like. He's just brings a different element. Now, can they get more power play opportunities? That's going to be a tougher task, Sat.
Yeah, and when you don't push the pace, it's difficult to do. I'll say this about this Edmonton Oilers team. Absolutely, their top two lines were their top line. Devastating.
Yeah.
But their bottom six is pretty much trash, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a really good bottom six mix. They have some issues on defense. They're not the same powerhouse as the Leafs are. So maybe you do get a penalty or two drawn against them if you can outplay that bottom six.
Yeah, and get some potential positive matchups with the last change as well for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll keep it going on the Land Rover pregame show. The player spotlight is coming up, and we'll get through line rushes. Who's in tonight? We'll get to it. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda, the Land Rover pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Getting you set for all the action. This is the Land Rover pregame show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to the Land Rover pregame show, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Canucks and Oilers coming up at 7 o'clock. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda with your pregame show. Here we've got the players' spotlights coming up. And, you know, we're looking at the out-of-town scoreboard a little bit as well. The Ottawa Senators currently 2 points up on the Vancouver Canucks. They are going to take down the Winnipeg Jets here tonight and have 2-1 is the final. Connor Brown with a goal. And so now Ottawa with 4 games left. They are 4 points up on the Vancouver Canucks in the standings. I know we have a lot of lottery watchers in the Dunbar Lumber text line right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're keeping an eye on. I mean, realistically speaking, the Canucks have to essentially win every single game to make the playoffs. The playoffs, they're not happening this season, right?
Nope.
It's just the reality. That's not what's going on. So you're not sitting here, if you're a Canucks fan perhaps, hoping the team loses, but are you getting upset when they lose if it improves your lottery odds? I mean, that's the kind of the way you look at it right now, is that maybe the best thing that can happen for this team is to have good lottery odds and to get another high draft pick, because it's trending towards definitely not being a playoff team.
That's definitely what's going to happen here. But, yeah, we know with the whole story in Vancouver and lottery odds, it's just a total crapshoot, unlucky. But, yeah, it makes a huge difference. The other story, guys, developing here, you got 7 straight losses for the Winnipeg Jets all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And Montreal just took their game to overtime. Dano scored in the last few seconds of OT, or in, not OT, in the third period. There's going to be a 1-point difference, at least, if not a tie, in third place. Like, Winnipeg is in a world of hurt right now. So from a Canucks perspective, you pay attention because Ottawa won and they extend that lead from 6-7. But if you're Winnipeg, you're in a bad way right now. You're losing, you know, players and to teams that you have no business losing to right now. There's a chance that Montreal could go into third place. And even Calgary still has a puncher's chance to catch up to Winnipeg. This is a bad situation for the Jets heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that Leafs and Habs first-round matchup may not be happening. As you hear the sounds of the background, Satyar Shah over at Rogers Arena. I hear Mike Smith has come out with no Bucky for warmies tonight there, Sat.
Yeah, so the goalie all of a sudden decides to get in on it. He's standing by the Lord Cole Parts sign next to the Oilers bench, and he's doing some stick handling. So that's how much respect he's showing Canucks shooters that he doesn't even need to have a helmet on during warmups. I just kid, of course. But, yeah, no helmet for Mike Smith. And we also have a lot of reaction in our Dunbar Lumber text in box, 650-650. This one here, we were talking about the Edmonton Oilers' bottom six. And, yeah, I stand by the fact that I think the Edmonton Oilers' bottom six is pretty trashy. When it comes to the Canucks, when it comes to their forwards, they have 5 forwards who produce. All their other forwards, after their fifth best highest scoring forward, have less than 12 points or 12 points or less on the season. They're a bottom six that does not generate a lot of offense. And, yes, to the texter's point, who says, outside the first 10 games of the season, they've been better defensively. Dave Tippett has coached them into the roles they are playing. Dave Tippett has done a great job with this team. And they're a team, of course, because of Draisaitl and McDavid and how they play, they are going to win a lot of hockey games when they're healthy. But that bottom six is a problem. And that's a team still, the Edmonton Oilers. When the bottom six is on the ice, they get outshot, outscored, and outchanced quite significantly. They're not winning because their bottom six is strong. They're winning because they've been getting enough saves, of course, but their top six, their top five players are scoring at an incredible pace. That's what's carrying them. The difference between the Canucks and Edmonton, and when you look at the metrics a lot, is essentially your top end guys are producing and playing, whereas the Canucks have not been. As far as the bottom six goes, that's the biggest issue the Edmonton Oilers have, because if they didn't have a bottom six that was problematic, they might win the division.
boys, you know, against the Canucks, yeah, McDavid and Draisaitl should up. You know, they should put up points. If you talk about winning this game, yeah, the Edmonton Oilers are the clear favorites. But look at their matchups against teams like Toronto, where it's more of an even fight in the top six, where, you know, Austin Matthews and co, Jake Muzzin and TJ Brody actually play the McDavids and Draisaitls of the world well. What happens to the rest of the lineup? Absolutely nothing, right? Those other guys that you speak of, and there's some NHLers in that group of that bottom six, but they're not picking up points. You know, you've got guys like even a Jesse Puljujarvi, who's got 21 points this year. He's playing top six. You got Dominic Cahoon. He's got 11 points. This is a heavily reliant team on those two players. And you can give a shout-out to Tyson Barrie and Nugent Hopkins when he's been healthy. But if they run into a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I would even argue the Montreal Canadiens, because Montreal plays them physical and they toss around McDavid and Draisaitl a bit, it's going to be a problem because you don't get that production from the bottom six. They fill out their roles. Tippett's done that well. But yeah, like the high end, if they play, you know, play upwards of 24, 25 minutes a game in the playoffs, you bank on Connor McDavid and you bank on Leon Draisaitl. But that bottom six, it will be a problem at some point in the playoffs because they just don't get contribution from their bottom six.
Well, they're almost supercharged Canucks version of last year, right? Where you rely a lot on your top guys and you rely a lot on your power play and special teams making the difference. Second best power play in the league this year with the Edmonton Oilers. And they've been getting good goaltending from Mike Smith. Now, I know a lot of us didn't really expect it this year, but you know that's kind of the formula that the Canucks had last year when they were having success.
Well, for sure, and it's even better on the Edmonton Oilers side right now because of how well McDavid and Draisaitl are playing. And I'm glad you brought up Tyson Barrie and their power play, because there were a lot of people that were kind of sneering at the Tyson Barrie signing, like, how does this help Edmonton? He does not defend well. They already have a good power play. Well, you can make a great power play even deadlier if you want to, and adding a player like Tyson Barrie, who has 42 points this season, that can also generate offense at even strength no matter how leaky he is in his own end, he's a guy who helps you and makes your team better, especially on special teams. And I do think, regardless of his deficiencies, he's been one of the better free agent signings, especially on a short-term deal, because look at the dividends he's paying this season.
Boys, we do have an update coming from that Montreal-Toronto game. For the second straight game, Cole Caufield has scored the OT winner for Montreal as they beat Toronto. So they've won three in a row. They've caught up to Winnipeg. And yes, it's that player that sat. I know you talked a lot about him when he was drafted in his draft year. Cole Caufield he's getting it done at the NHL level too.
He can shoot, man. Cole Caufield, the one thing he can do, he can score. The kid has God-given talent to score goals, and it was very evident in his draft year as well. Now he's already scored another goal for the Edmonton Oilers. This guy scored 30 goals this season in 31 games for the University of Wisconsin, and he's a guy that was playing through the U.S. Under-18 national program, was one of the most prolific scorers they've ever seen at that level. The kid is dynamic and an absolute freak when it comes to scoring goals, and I'm so excited about seeing how his career unfolds. That's not to say I think the Canucks missed out on him, because I do think, based on the tiers and what Podkolzin was at the time, he was legitimately a different tier than Cole Caufield. But had the Canucks or any other team in the top 10 jumped up to take Cole Caufield, I would not have been critical of it, because you can't teach goal scoring, and this kid has that ability.
Yeah, and Goal Caufield is what they are going to eventually name him. Also, his nickname is apparently Bilbo in reference to his height. And I'm here for any player that I can relate to where all of your nicknames are related to the fact that you are short and shorter than most others. That's fine. That's fine with me. It's totally fine. Never happened to me before in my life, ever. Yes, we've got the player spotlight here on the Land Rover pre-game show. The Upper Deck player spotlight is Quinn Hughes. Text Hughes with your name to 650-650 now to win a 2020-2021 Upper Deck Series starter kit. Buy, open, collect, and trade your favorite hockey cards at upperdeckepack.com. Collect the best. Collect Upper Deck. Quinn Hughes has had a lot on his plate right now. We talk about the power play. What are we seeing in Quinn Hughes' game right now, Sat?
He also, kind of like the rest of the team, all of a sudden looks like he hit a wall. And it was interesting because we talked about, hey, Quinn Hughes had some time off. Yes, he was sick, and maybe that helped what was ailing him potentially. Was there something lower body-wise? He was moving a lot better, making better decisions with the puck, not finding himself in trouble as much.
Man, but he looked great in those two games against
right?
Toronto.
He really
the
did.
First ones back.
he looked fantastic. And since then, we're kind of starting to see the same Quinn Hughes we saw earlier this season, which is not like he's not a horrible player or anything, but some of the same things have crept up again all of a sudden. And maybe that is simply just fatigue here with a lot of these guys.
I think it really comes down to that. We've seen it from other players as well, and maybe with you know Quinn, he's handling the puck more, therefore those mistakes are even more exaggerated and more pronounced. It's kind of the Erik Karlsson complex, right? We notice it more when a player with elite skill does it, but those mistakes have happened from Nate Schmidt. Those mistakes have come from J.T. Miller. You know, I feel like we've forgotten that terrible pass up the middle to Brady Tkachuk as well. The only difference is with Quinn Hughes, he's handling the puck more, and we pay attention to him as well, but there has been a significant drop-off in the sense that you're starting to see maybe that energy level is starting to drop, and what do they say, right? When you start getting tired, what's the first thing? The mind goes first. Starting to see that a little bit.
Hockey Twitter right now is seeing Tom Wilson trending, and one thing you know when Tom Wilson is trending, it's probably not good for the game of hockey. Gordy Locke texting in, tweeting in, how many games does Tom Wilson get for his latest dirty play? Now, if you haven't seen it, Tom Wilson, you know the pedigree which Triple H used to use as a finishing move?
Yep.
He kind of did that to Pavel Buchnevich and then also punched him into the back of the head as there was a scrum around the Washington net. He then gave a, I guess it would be a spine buster to Artemi Panarin. As well, he received a 10-game misconduct, ends up scoring an empty netter for the Capitals, who beat the Rangers 6-3. But Tom Wilson, not staying out of the suspension news. He's definitely going to hear from the Department of Player Safety.
So spinning the wheel of the player Department of Player Safety wheel of justice.
Yes.
Where do you think the league comes out on this? I mean, we've seen them come down hard on Tom Wilson recently too because of some mistakes, or not mistakes, essentially trying to hurt people on the ice or the perception of that being the case. It's very clear what he was trying to do, and then throwing Panarin on the ice, it looked like he hit his head. I'm not sure, but it looked like he kind of did on the ice as well. You got to give Tom Wilson something here. That it seemed a bit too far. Like, I don't have an issue with guys wrestling or getting into a fight or whatever, but smashing a guy's head against the ice a couple times, driving his head into the ice, that's a really bad look.
Yeah, the Buchnevich one looked bad. The Panarin one as well was not that much better either. He basically throws him down. And I'm not sure if this was related or not, but Artemi Panarin did leave the game with a lower body injury. So we'll have to wait and see what happened there. But it's Tom Wilson, man. Like, they're going to have to throw something at him. Anytime this guy does something questionable, and this was definitely that yet again, his rap sheet is so long that he's going to get something. At this point, you can't even give him the benefit of the doubt anymore, especially when you're, you know, driving a player's head down to the ice and punching him there for after. And it's just like it, with another player, you might say, okay, hey, it's a one-off. With Tom Wilson, that excuse went out the window a long, long time ago.
Well, he had the situation with Brandon Carlo. I think he gets at least 5 games, which is what they have left in the season. What will be interesting is if he gets any playoff games on top of that. Because we know playoff games are graded differently than regular season games when it comes to suspensions. If you've got a thought, let us know. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. When we return on the Land Rover pregame show, the exclusive comments of Travis Green ahead of puck drop, Canucks and Oilers, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda, the Land Rover pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Time now for the Green Report. Here's Brendan Batchelor.
It's the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers tonight from Rogers Arena, as I'm joined now by Canucks head coach Travis Green. And Travis, looking back on the 4-game road trip, certainly you have to be disappointed with the lack of results from your time away from home. I know you had an improved effort, you thought, at least through 2 periods against the Maple Leafs the other night. So returning home now, what is the biggest focus for your group in terms of improving your game and getting back into the win column?
Well, first of all, we're not going to dwell on the road trip. We've had a day off here. We've got a lot of games coming fast and furious. Whether you win or lose, it's important that you get ready for the next game. We're obviously doing a lot of teaching still with our group. We had a good video session from last game. We did some good things, especially in the first 2 periods. We probably still need to be a little sharper with the puck. There's probably 2 goals that we gave up last game, maybe 3. But plays where we just got to execute passes. You can't turn over pucks in certain areas. If the pass is there, you've got to make it. And when we execute passes, our game proceeds up the ice. So for us, our I think that's one of the focal points of our game right now is our energy and our passing, and obviously sticking to our structure.
Travis, your team's facing injuries up front right now. You've got eight guys that could be in your lineup that you don't have available to you, and you'll have a next man up mentality for your young players that get a chance. But what about your top guys and the pressure that it puts on them to produce when you have other regulars out of the lineup?
Well, it does. These guys are smart guys. They understand that we've got some guys out of the lineup. They understand the magnitude of their roles. But that's why they're top players. They want it. They like it. They expect it. But it's easier said than done, and they're giving us everything they have, and they want to win just as bad as they always do.
You face the Oilers tonight. You'll face them four times this week. When you look at game planning for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, how do you approach that, and how does your group need to approach trying to limit two of the top players in the league tonight?
Well, every time you play Edmonton, and it's not just our team, it's every team in the league, they're the focal point to the game plan. They're two of the best players in the world. It'll be a focal point for our game plan when we talk about Edmonton. Our players understand that. You've got to limit time and space, which is easier said than done. You've got to be on top of them. You've got to realize when they're on the ice as well and be effective in your systems.
And that's not something that just applies to your defensemen or, you know, the guys you'd like to have matched up against them either. It has to be all five guys on the ice and all 18 skaters, doesn't it?
Well, it is for sure. You've got to be in sync. You've got to play as five-man units. You don't take away time and space being spread out all over the ice, and that's something that we talk about a lot.
Travis, thanks for this. Good luck tonight.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.
There is Travis Green as this is the Land Rover pregame show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. And, you know, a lot of the Canucks' final games here, the goals are going to have to come from the top lines. It's normally been happening with this team. But as we continue to look at the situation, you hear Travis Green saying, you know, they relish this type of pressure. Well, the pressure is on for Besser and Miller and Horvat to really carry this team offensively right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Travis and a lot of the guys are saying all the right things, right? And I'm sure they're doing their absolute best. I think a lot of this is putting a brave face on things, to be honest, guys. That's kind of what it seems like, too. And hopefully, what we talked about, they did maybe gain some stamina here because, hey, over 40 minutes the other night, they played better. They had days off in between. Maybe they are getting a bit stronger. They're going to need every ounce of energy they need just to get through these final 11 games.
And you need your best players to be your best players, right? And Brock Besser, I think we've been very complimentary of him this year and the growth in this game. But in the last four games, 0 points. In the last 10 games, one goal. The Canucks need their top three players, offensive players from the forward group right now, JT Miller, Bo Horvat, and Brock Besser, the established guys in this lineup, to put up goals right now because nobody else, you can't really rely on anybody else. That bottom six is, if they score, I think you're lucky at this point because they haven't been able to really, you know, do that in the last little bit. So you need five-on-five, possession. Let's start with that. And guys, those power plays, they're few and far between later in the year, but I look at guys like Besser, Horvat, and Miller, and most specifically Besser right now because he's, you know, his last 10 games haven't been great. So if they're going to win, you know, tonight, if they're going to win any number of these games going forward here, you're going to need a player like a Brock Besser to help kind of take over and have that marquee performance that we've seen so many times in the last couple of years. The Canucks need that from one of their top three guys right now in that forward group.
You're listening to the Land Rover pregame show. Land Rover, visit your local Land Rover authorized retailer for offers. Land Rover above and beyond. And you heard Travis mention structure there as well. And, you know, it's not going to be about structure that helps you stop Connor McDavid. Sometimes, like, right. He's going to break you down no matter what. But, you know, when you do have those breakdowns, it'll leave even more lanes open for him. But I just don't know. When Connor McDavid's on, and we've seen this against the Canucks this year, we've seen this pretty much against everybody. When he wants to take over games, he's just going to do it.
Yeah, once he decides, there's almost no getting in his way. But I do think Travis is right in terms of it has to be structure, especially this team that is already pretty low on talent as it is, and then you have Pettersson out, and you look at the bottom six, which obviously isn't good enough either. you're going to have to do your best to make this the most boring, low-event hockey game at even strength as you can. And that's what the Canucks have really been trying to do for a while here, even before the COVID outbreak, and even more so tonight. So if the Canucks have their way and they're as structured as Travis mentioned, if they can be that structured, well, it's going to make for not the most entertaining hockey game, and that actually might help the Canucks.
Yeah, if the Canucks want to win this, it's going to have to come down to goaltending as well, right? This is a team on Saturday night with the Edmonton Oilers. Like, it didn't take much for them to jump all over the Calgary Flames. They had that matchup, and that was a pretty easy one for them. Holtby, especially early on in this game, you know, Edmonton came out, you know, guns a-blazing in that first period in the first 10 minutes against Calgary. Braden Holtby's going to have to be at his best if they want to win this game. And on top of that, you need guys like Horvat, Miller, and Besser to produce. But it starts with Braden Holtby, guys. You know Edmonton and their top line is going to come out, you know, throwing haymakers. Can the Canucks compete in the first 10 minutes is going to be really a huge moment for this team, because can they keep up with the Oilers and can they keep up with that power play if Edmonton gets opportunities?
This one, predicting a hat trick for McDavid. I want the Canucks to win, but I also want McDavid to hit 100 points. 7-6 game. At least it'll be entertaining. That's one text.
I'll take a 7-6 hockey game. Hell
hey,
yeah.
I'll take any.
I'm here for it.
7-6 hockey games, throw it back to the 80s. You know, Connor McDavid doing more Wayne Gretzky impressions all the time. I love it.
The Canucks score more than 2 goals? Yes, please.
please.
Yeah, that would be nice. Do we expect Holtby and Demko to split the rest of these games?
And I think that's probably the right way to go about things, right? I mean, listen, you're not making the playoffs, right? I mean, you're not making a playoff push here. Just look at what's happening. So what you're trying to do is get through this season. You're trying to get through this season as healthy as possible and not have games get completely out of hand. And if that
And they're playing the Edmonton Oilers. It's not going to be an easy matchup, and the bottom six has to play. It's going to be tough, but we got to talk about it. That's what we do here.
It is the Land Rover pregame show coming to an end. Canucks and Oilers, can they slow down McDavid? Can they get back in the win column? It's all happening from Rogers Arena. Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch have the call. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. This has been the Land Rover Canucks pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.